Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last night we were speaking about Allama Tartushi, referring to his Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, rahimahullah. And the last two advices that he had given him. One is to decrease socializing, to meet and to keep Muslims comfortable, see that they are happy. That's your duty. And we need to learn how to keep them happy. See, that's why we are impressed upon that, see the styles and the ways of the elders. Our elders, we're closer to their elders, and so forth, until it reaches the Tabi'een, Sahaba, and Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they may have learned some things, understood some things that we didn't understand. This will take us time to understand. Simple is, alright, this is what they did. And then, when we study the hadith, we find, alright, there is some evidence in the hadith. And if we leave them and start doing it ourselves, we have to experiment the whole thing. Like they say, reinvent the wheel. One is, alright, they did this, now let's continue. Time will show the evidence and their references. Now say, look at a simple thing like iyadat. Iyadat, visiting the ill. So the idea was to make it easy for him, make it comfortable for him. That was the whole idea. Now if you learned how to make him comfortable, you can make him feel comfortable. But if you didn't learn how to make him comfortable, you may intend to comfort him, but you may cause discomfort to the person. Perhaps it was in a Syrian or someone that was not feeling well, and someone came to visit. So now, he came there and he's seated there. He's not leaving. And you get two types of people. One type is, the man is comfortable with his presence no matter what. Night, day, in his solitude, in his any moments, you feel relaxed with the person. You don't feel awkward. And there are those that you feel comfortable, but at times, like how you may feel more comfortable with your family or your child, right? You'll be free, you can do things, and you won't feel uncomfortable. But now, if it's a friend, you will not have that level of comfort as you would have had in the company of your wife and your child. There was one musalli here in the top masjid, quite regular. Now he's moved away from here. So he had an open heart surgery. I went to visit him. I asked him, how do you do, sir? He said, very well. Then he says to me, well, you only understand the comfort of the home when you're not at home. Then you understand the comfort of the home. So I was wanting to know why did he say this? He said, no, I was in hospital, say, 2 weeks or so, in hospital, recuperating. But he says, now, there are nurses around, there are doctors around, and you need to break wind. In the presence of these people, you can't do these things. You feel so awkward. Now, they are sitting there, they are standing there, maybe sometimes an hour, 2 hours, they're working with you. And they intend well, but just that you're not familiar. When you're not familiar, now you're holding that. And you're feeling uncomfortable. Now you're in the home and you feel the comfort, you feel the familiarity, you feel the relaxation. So there are those that you may know, you may understand them, but you don't feel comfortable in their presence, people that are around. So they need to understand. They sit there for a short while and then move. So this person was there, whether it was in a Syrian or some other alim, So it's not moving. People are coming and leaving. They're coming and leaving. So he's in constraints. I mean, constraints, he's saying, I don't know what's wrong with people. He says, yeah, they're disturbing you, man. Let me lock it up so they don't disturb you. He says, yeah, lock it up, but from outside. So coming to visit, trying to understand that the idea is to make it comfortable. Maybe some visits an old person. So now look at the words. La ba'sa tahurun inshallah. Don't worry, everything will be all right, inshallah, everything will be all right. It's just a process of purification. Right? When you have a bout of a flu, so they give you an antibiotic, right? So that thing helps to let you perspire, and when you perspire it nicely, then you feel relaxed, you feel relieved. Right? This is what happens overall. Perhaps something is coming out, whatever waste needs to be released, it's released through the tablets, right? The perspiration, everything comes out. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tahurun, in other words, it's a purification process. You're feeling ill like this, why? Because there is some impurities within your body. You relax and you'll perspire. Through the perspiration, all the dirt, all the filth will come out. So it's just a purification process. You're feeling a little bit difficult, painful, but don't worry about it. It will be all right. But the wordings are all comprehensive. See, that was Nabi Sallam, and Allah Pak blessed him with Jawami'ul Kalim. Words that may be small in number, but they are comprehensive. They have a lot of detailed meanings. It can also mean it's a purification, in other words, that you're going through a difficulty, but it's going to be purifying your roads ahead of you. You've still got the qabr, you've still got the akhirat. It'll purify and cleanse all your paths in the future. So don't be stressed out, don't be constrained. So it covers him in this world, covers him in the next. Now see the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understand it, then understand how to do it. Right. Now you're going to visit the sick person. So you're visiting him, and he says, hey, what happened? You just nodded like this, just shook your head, but how does he feel? He feels, is something serious with me now? Understand the idea. What was the idea? The idea was to bring him comfort, to make him feel relieved. Now you just did this, hey, what happened? So you made him comfortable, or you made him uncomfortable. See, now this is what is meant. Understand the mansha of Nubuwwat. Understand this. Now this you learn when you sit in the company of these people here. And not just sitting, but observing also. Right? What did this, our buzurg, our elder, what did he do? These were the circumstances, this is what he did. This were the circumstances, and this is what he did, how he conducted himself. So observe with a clear mind, open mind, and see what he did. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah had asked a student, he's already graduated, he's already Maulana. So he asked him, when there is a big majma, like how you get an istima, right? A very big majma and a very big istima, and the imam makes a mistake that makes the sajda sahu compulsory. The imam has made a mistake, and that mistake makes the sajda sahu compulsory. But the majma is very big, like how you get an istima. Say in this masjid now, you get a capacity of 400, say for example 400 or 500. Now, you get a very big crowd. There was some qirat or something, jalsa, and there was a crowd of say 600 people, so a very big crowd. Now, here, in that crowd, the imam made a mistake. So Mustafa asked him now, all right, when you got this type of a crowd, then what are you supposed to be doing? Do you do the sajda sahu or not? So he answered that normally in the Eid or the Jummah, when the imam has to stumble like this, then the imam doesn't make the sajda sahu. And the reason is that in making that sajda sahu, there is going to be a confusion in the musallis. So what's happening now? somebody's going to ruku, somebody's standing up, there's a whole commotion going on, because they don't understand. When they don't understand, then they will create a commotion in the crowd. See, now there's another masala that comes up, that you adopt a way that doesn't create a commotion. In our deen, right, you adopt a way that you avoid a confusion, avoid a commotion. The problem is now, everyone says, yeah, let me do it like this. I know it right. Why is he doing it? So we didn't understand, we didn't see the context, we didn't see it fully, and then we want to jump. You create a problem. The person that is sitting there, he knows why he's doing what. In one situation, he did something. In another situation, he did something else. But why he did it, he knows. Right. Now, if you're going to be, you're going to be very fast upon him and hasty upon him. Why did you do this? Why did you? So now he requires time to explain and make you understand. And maybe you don't have the time, maybe he doesn't have the time, you have come at the wrong time. So when you don't understand things, then relax, understand, see it nicely. If it concerns you, then relate. If it doesn't concern you, then just move away. So when we try to become a little bit more forward, I know it, and I understand it, and why they aren't doing it like this, but there may be some point that you are missing out. The man that is involved, he knows why he took those steps. You're not involved, you don't know it exactly how it works. He's involved, he knows how it works. So when you don't know all the sequence, just stay in your place, remain in your place. Aati kulla shayin haqqahu. Everybody keep his anzilu nas manazil. Keep everybody in their place. If everybody just understood, you know, all right, I must stand in my place. In time will teach me, right? And you won't find problems. But now, you want to move out of your place, be what you aren't, you're going to create problems. Even the Quran Sharif, I was explaining that in the Jalsa, you know. Now see this, the verse of the Quran. مَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. The du'as of the non-believers are of no avail. إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ, I'm translating for your ease, of no avail. Making dua, but nothing is happening, of no avail. Now, do you understand the context? Yesterday, he's making dua, so that dua is going to hurt you. So the explanation says, no. مَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. The dua of the kafir is non-effective, is not effective. So then he quoted the verse. Now, did you understand the whole context, how it went, what was the sequence, and what was the revelation? It says you understand everything. You just understood the translation and you're quick to apply. But you didn't see the whole context, how, what was the sequence, what was the order of the revelation, what was the circumstance, you didn't see all these things. So when you didn't see it now you're going to create a problem. Because if someone were to ask you, all right, إِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah Pak is talking about the kuffar. When they board the ship and they're coming across turbulent waters, then they talk to Allah Ta'ala. They're frantic and in desperation, they're talking to Allah Ta'ala. They're pleading to Allah Ta'ala, making dua to Allah Ta'ala. I have seen before in the planes, you know, some planes you didn't have them too steady. So if they're going through some turbulence, they come dipping down. Sometimes 50 meters, 30 meters coming down, comes up again, right? So for that moment that it's going through that turbulent, then there is pin drop silence all over. So I just thought to myself, see, the Quran spoke about the ship, but it's applicable to the plane as well. That when you're going through that turbulent, now, مُسَخَّرْ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, you're not on the earth, not in the heaven, and that plane is just dipping, right? And you're concerned now, what's going to happen? And maybe 3 months ago you heard a plane crashed, right? Now you're thinking, what's going to happen now? See, so there is absolute silence, drop silence. And they're making dua also within their heart. And mind you, even the atheists make dua at that time. Even the kafir, the atheist, everybody will make dua at that time. There's no, now there's room, no room then. Then they'll definitely turn that direction. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. But now look, they made dua. So Allah Pak saved them, delivered them to safety. As soon as He delivered them to safety, again they in the kufr and disbelief. See that? So that means the du'as were answered. And then you're saying that the du'as are non-effective. So you went off why? Because you didn't see the reason for the revelation. You didn't see the order, how this was revealed. You didn't see the circumstance. So the verse reads, إِذْ يَتَحَاجُّونَ فِي النَّارِ فَيَقُولُ الدُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. They're all in Jahannam, right? When in Jahannam now, so you get two levels in any community, you find two levels. One is the leading class, and one is the following class. So the following class is complaining to the leaders, إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا. We used to follow you. Can you save us out today? Can you bail us out today? So they say, no, inna kunna, we all together in this. Inna kullun fiha, inna Allah qad hakama bayna al-ibad. We are all in the same pot, in the same melting pot, whether weak, strong, leading, following, everybody in the same pot, all melting together. Now, when that is over, they found out that the leaders can't do anything for them. So then they turn towards li khazanati jahannam adu. See the circumstance. First, they turned towards the leaders by sort us out now, man. You know, we followed you all, and you all brought us the soup here. Right? So, sort us out. Say, no, inna kullun fiya, we're all in the same pot here. Same. You in the mess, I'm in the mess, everybody the same. So, they lost hope, became desperate. So, now they turned towards the keepers of Jahannam. وقال الذين في النار لخزنة جهنم ادعوا ربكم. Now, they turning towards the keepers of Jahannam, people that are in charge of Jahannam. Ud'u rabbakum yukhaffif anna yawm min al-azab. Just sort us out, help us out now, make dua for us. Make dua that Allah just lightens the azab. Even one day is alright. It's unbearable now. Even just one day, just lighten the azab. So the keepers understand that this cannot be changed. This law of Allah Ta'ala is there and it's an eternal law, it's not going to change. So they explained to them, أَوَلَمْ تَكُوا تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُولُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. But didn't our Rasuls come and bring you clear proofs? They brought clear messages. From Allah Ta'ala, they brought clear messages. When the message was clear, non-ambiguous, absolutely clear, then why didn't you accept it? Say, no, the message came to us. Said, قَالُوا بَلَا قَالُوا فَدُرُوا. So now the message came to us. So said, oh, then you want to make dua, cannot make dua. Ma dua ul kafirina illa fi dalal. Now your dua is non-effective. See the way where this verse fits. Qalu fad'u wa ma dua ul kafirina illa fi dalal. So you see where this, somebody used to train us on writing fatwa. So now we're young at that time. When we're young now, sometimes some masla comes up. And you just quote a hadith. So if you quote a hadith, so he'd say, Tum kab se mujtahid ban gaya? When did you become a mujtahid? A mujtahid is an imam. He's got the right, he'll just quote straight from the hadith. Why he's got the right? He's got the right because, not because he's a mujtahid, but he's got the right to do it because in one side he's got all the hadith before him. He's got such a comprehensive understanding of the hadith that if you talk to him about a masla, then all the hadith pertaining to that masla are before him. So the hadith is before him, the wording of the hadith, the sequence of revelation, the one that is sahih and the one that is za'if is before him. So everything is before him. So when everything is before him and he's extracting a masla, then he is eligible to do it. He's qualified to do it. And if you're going to do it then, even though you're an alim, right? Even though you're a mufti sahab, but can you say that all the hadiths are before you? Then is it fair for you? Even though you graduated as a mufti sahab, as a mulana, as whatever, but all the whole treasure of hadith is not before you. And you just took a decision. Are you qualified to do it? So Mustafa would warn us, he says, Tum kab se mujtahid ban gaye? When did you become a mujtahid? Tumhare liye zaruri hai ki tum fiqh ki kitabon ko dekho. It's your duty, you must refer to the fiqh kitabs. This masla, where did it come? How is this masla, etc.? Go and find out, go and see. So the student is explaining Mustafa rahmatullahi alayhi. It would seem that in the Eid and the Jummah, if the Imam is going to make a sajda sahu, when he needs to make a sajda sahu, he's going to create a commotion. Right? So, and the Sharia wants you to avoid commotion. Don't create commotion. Don't create confusion. Don't create commotion. So to avoid the commotion, that's the goal and the purpose of the Sharia, where the Sharia has waived its right. Said, no, don't make the sajda sahu now. So this illat, this reason, is applicable in a Jummah, it's applicable in a huge crowd. When the crowd is massive, it's applicable here, it's applicable there. See how it works. That's why they will also encourage you. They won't say it's an obligation, but they will tell you, see, if it's a very huge crowd, though on a Jummah, in a Fajr namaz, to recite Surah Alif Lam Sajda is Sunnah. But if it's a very huge crowd, then you rather don't read it. It's a massive crowd. For some reason, the crowd is very, very massive. There's a massive crowd now, and you're reading Surah Sajda. Now you'll see now, when you're making Sajda, somebody's in Sajda, somebody's going Ruku, somebody's doing what? Haven't you created a commotion? So don't do it. Do it, but do it at some other occasion. And there is, for all this, there is an evidence in the Sharia. It's not that the Sharia, there is no evidence. See, the Kaaba Sharif was built first, perhaps by Adam alayhi salam or the Malaika. One of the two reports, right? Either Adam alayhi salam or either the Malaika, right? Then it was washed away in the time of the floods of Nuh alayhi salam, reconstructed in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, second construction, right? Then the third construction was around the time of the Quraysh, right? Time of the Quraysh, they reconstructed it. In this construction, Nabi was around, he was present, and he also helped in this third construction of the Baytullah. Where we hear the story of the placing of the Hajar Aswad. So this was the reconstruction, the third reconstruction of the Baytullah. Then was the fourth construction of the Baytullah in the time of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. That was the nephew of Aisha, because he had heard directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained that when your people had constructed the Baytullah, they moved out the Hatim from the Baytullah. Whatever reasons, maybe shortage of funds or whatever, but they couldn't do it, so the Hatim, that semicircle that we see, that was built out of the Kaaba Sharif. So this is the actual base of the Kaaba Sharif, this is the actual plan. When Ibn Zubayr heard about the actual plan, so he demolished the Kaaba Sharif to build it according to the design of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he did. It was his khilafat, and he heard the hadith directly from his aunt, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Right? Now that was over. Now came to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, "Now, hey." He did not like Abdullah bin Zubair, according to the history, he didn't like him. Apart from his oppression, etc., but he didn't like him. So he felt to himself, if this thing is going to work, then for the rest of time, the name of Abdullah bin Zubair will be on the Kaaba Sharif. Because he says, for years, this Kaaba Sharif was not built in the right design. Ibn Zubair corrected it. So who would take the credit? Ibn Zubair. So he didn't want that to happen. So he had to make up a story, and he says, no, you know what? Abdullah bin Zubayr, he did something else. He fabricated himself. Let's go to the way it was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See that? Kalimatu haqqin urida bihil batil. See that? What he's saying is right, like it was in the day of, that's right. But his intention in saying that, was it right or not right, was wrong. Right. So he demolished it and reconstructed it in the original way, like it was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, all that happened, comes the time of Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, the whole thing is before him, he's the king. So he's got authority, he's got power, he can do. Right? So when this whole picture came before him, so he said, no, let me build it. According to the mansha of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let me do it. Just then Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi stopped him, said, no, don't do this. Because now what's going to happen? Every succeeding king, he will find the Kaaba Sharif a place to practice. He wants to now put a mark. He wants to put a mark. This is my building. So he will demolish and reconstruct. Demolish and reconstruct so that his name remains. So now this Kaaba Sharif will become a plaything of kings, so leave it now. It was the time of Tabi Tabi'in, great ulama were present, everybody agreed with Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, and that was the status quo from then till now. But what I'm explaining to you is, you see this commotion, friction, confusion, but just don't go near it, just move away. The dust will settle, you will see things in perspective, things will fall in place. But now when that happens and you put your 5 cents, you will create more confusion. He said something, that person said something else, the third person said something else. You're going to create more confusion. Now just leave it. Everything will settle. In its own time it will settle. The one that has got that ilm, that understanding, he's got that type of clout and authority, he rectifies, then he has got a right to rectify. For 2 reasons, because he's got authority and strength. Number 2, he's supported with ilm. So if you don't have authority or you don't have ilm, and you're going to do something, well, what's going to happen? It's going to create a confusion. Who is this? Ye kahan se nikla hai? Who is this person to come and make these changes? So people are going to criticize. They're going to condemn, right? And maybe they're condemning also rightfully. But if it is a person of that knowledge, that level of knowledge, and he's got authority as well, and he shows it, then inshallah, there won't be commotion. There won't be confusion. Right? So, we're reading this article here. What was the article about? The Quran Sharif, yeah. I had to give all this explanation. Right? And then I said, for everything, there are adab. Visiting the sick also, there is adab. So the Muslim is visiting this elderly person and he's giving him words of comfort. See, now you're visiting the sick. So there's adab in visiting the sick as well. I remember once I was in Marisburg, programmed this, so we had to go and visit one person. He had a heart surgery. So one person came around there. Now he's also visiting as we are visiting. Hey. You know, but you better be careful, huh? You better look after yourself. The other person was also the same like you, and in 2 months he died, man. He died. Wait, was that the statement to make at that time? And try to understand now. That person is there, he's in pain, he's hearing, I'm recuperating, things are working out, the doctors are giving. Now you give him this type of news, is that the right thing to say at that time? So that is why they say, by follow your elders. Your elder is there, let him do the talking, observe what he's doing, why he's doing. Now you want to imitate, you want to pretend to be the elder, and you'll create a problem for yourself, create a problem for others. So anyway, now Nabi Sam is visiting this person here, this old man. Nabi Sam gives him that words of comfort. When he gives him the word of comfort, he says, no, la. Balhumma tathur. This is a flu. This is a flu. It's boiling. Tuziru al-Shaykh al-Kabir al-Kabur. It's going to take the old man to the grave. See, balhumma tathur and someplace tasur. Right? It's a flu that is boiling now, and it's going to take the old man to the grave. So now. Now Nabi Sam, his mizaj was he won't get into a confrontation. Doesn't get into an argument. Alright, then let it be then. If that's your opinion of Allah Ta'ala, then let it be then. See, so Nabi Sam, his whole take was to make the person feel comfortable. Now what will make that person feel comfortable? You'll do that. Now you'll observe, see. So one is iyadat, and one is taziyat. So iyadat also you have to learn, and taziyat also you must learn, right? When the person, someone passed away, so you go and offer your condolence. So when you go and offer condolence, how should you behave? How should you conduct yourself? Now learn from the elders. Don't do it yourself. Go and learn. It may take you some time, understand how they're doing it. You have to offer condolence, offer the condolence, but how to go and do it. So in a small town now, so one child passed away. So some musallis went around, and they went to offer condolence to the bereaved. Don't worry, bhai. Allah will give you a better replacement. Allah will give you a better replacement. One person came here for etikaf. Not etikaf, he just came here. Etikaf time, 1-2 days he stayed and went away. So he just lost his grandson. So I said, how are you, bhai? He said, you lost your grandson. Say, yeah, I lost my grandson. So you know what? I told my son, make shukar, man. Make shukar. Nature is a little bit wild. He said, make shukar. So I'm thinking, hey, how are you going to predict this? So he says, no, I told my son, make shukar, you know. At least you're not firing blank bullets. So you get some wild cracks, right? Wild cracks. So, all right. For that wild background, this was all right. For the background he comes from, he's a little bit wild, right? So when it's a wild background, so this is all right. But now you hear that, and you want to apply that, it doesn't work for you. See? One more time I said that. See, if you've got a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of knowledge, to apply that knowledge, a little bit, 1 ounce of knowledge, you need a ton of wisdom. If it's an ounce of knowledge, then you need a ton of wisdom to be able to apply it rightly. Now I didn't tell him anything for what he said. I know the background he's coming from. So the background that he's coming from, if he says it, it's all right. But now you hear this and you're going to apply it, obviously not going to be right. You can't say it. So now the musallis went and tried to make it easy for the person, make him feel relaxed. Don't worry now, it's your first child, inshallah. Try again, don't worry, Allah will give you a better replacement. So now, one person didn't understand the whole story yet properly, he didn't get it right. After a year or something, an old man died. 90 years old, he died, leaving his widow, 89 years of age. So he said, I know, last year when that child died, so this was the word to say, you know, Allah will give you a better replacement. So now that woman is there, that widow, and her sons at about 70 years of age, they are around. So this person is like a bright spark, and he says, what? Akabir ka tariqa hai, is the way of the elders. What must you do? Say, Allah will give you a better replacement. Those sons gave push back, said, get out, what are you talking about here? What are you talking about here? You know what you're talking about. So understand that, see, how it works, what the circumstance, what's supposed to be said, how it's supposed to be said, when it's supposed to be said. You didn't understand, you bypassed that, you just got half that information and you want to let drive. So you see the problem that you create. Now this avoiding commotion, really, it's a principle in deen. It's not a small thing, it's a very big thing. It's a big principle in deen. And our ulama have adhered to it. Avoid commotion, confusion. Don't create these things here. See, in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, deen had spread far and wide. Because Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, up till the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar was discouraging people moving on the ship, you know, going for jihad purposes but traveling by ship. Do you want to? Umar was very careful of the Sahaba Kiram and his people. Hey, Kush,
agar kashti mein kuch ho gaya to, if something happened on ship, then what? So he was very, very particular. See, he took it like his own children. See, so he didn't allow this, what do you call it, navy, sir? Naval, didn't allow it. Came Hazrat Usman's time, Hazrat Usman heard about it, and people told him, oh, we can do it. Hazrat Usman allowed it. So now, as a result, now Islam spread right till about Russia. The Hadith speaks about Azerbaijan. So I suppose that's part of the Russia, right? Azerbaijan. It went right up till there. It's quite far away from Medina Munawwara. Now, when Islam spread right there, you can imagine Medina Munawwara, the center, people have moved on. Right? So people are in pockets, they're accepting Islam here, there. They're all new. Right? So in one place, maybe you go and speak to them, so they're accepting Islam. Another place, he goes and he speaks about Islam to them. And third person goes in the third place. So the dialect that they had learned the Quran Sharif, they are reciting. You learnt it from, they learnt it from you. So now they're reading Qiraat al-Hafs. Right? And they learnt it from you learnt it from Qiraat al-Warsh. So you're reading in Warsh, right? Different Qiraat. So they're reading one Qiraat. Town, adjacent town, they're reading another Qiraat. Understand? They're all new, right? And they're committed Muslims. That zamana, if you're accepting Islam, then it's commitment. Now, these people are observing that their recitation is different to theirs. And they are also noticing that his recitation is different to yours. So say, hey, you are fasting, you are a kafir, what are you doing? You're distorting the Quran Sharif. They make the same statements, and here they making the same statements. You understand what's happening? Right. Now, this whole dialect story was as a relaxation to this world, right? As a concession. Now, why? Just to make us understand to our level, right? Now, imagine we are speaking English, right? But an Englishman's dialect is different. If he speaks English, same language, but his dialect is different. Sometimes you'll have difficulty in understanding what he's saying. The same spoken English, if an American is speaking, is different. Right? And our local black, he will speak the same thing, but he'll speak different. But all speaking the same language. You'll know this is an American, this is an English, this is a local. They'll speak different. Won't they speak differently? He'll say million. He'll say billion. Right? But they're speaking the same language. So Nabi Sam gave these concessions, right? You can do it. You read like this, million, you read million, all right? He gave the concession. Because understood now they came just new into Islam, and straight away to straighten their tongues will be difficult. You understood? To straighten the tongues straight away is going to be very difficult. How are you going to do it? So he gave the concession, right? You do it in this way, you do it in this way, carry on. Now it comes in the time of Usman radiallahu anhu. And now, this allowance that was given, this concession was given, is creating a problem now. Can you see that? They declaring this person as kafir, he is declaring that person as kafir, so it's creating a problem now. That means Islam has settled, is not like the first phase of Islam. Now we're in a little bit of an advanced phase. So Usman radiallahu anhu got the Sahaba Ikram, etc., he got them all. And he said, no. Now we will write the Quran Sharif in one single script. Before it was read in the script that the person took along. He took along this script, he read from that. He took along this script, he read from that, right? So now we'll write the Quran Sharif in a single script. So we'll recite it. So if they got a problem, then you refer to the script. Don't you refer to the script? You got a problem, you say, let's look. In Gujarat, they say, Lakhan Wanchan. Lakhan Wanchan. You got it in writing, so you refer to it, right? So you got a reference book. Now, if you got a reference book, will there be a problem? So there's not going to be a problem because you got a reference book. So he's reading and he's reading, and you got one reference book, you're not going to have a problem. The reference book is the same. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he consulted with all the Sahaba Ikram that were present in Medina Munawwara at the time. And he said, we do away with all the other scripts and we write in one single script. So now this was a relief from that commotion. See, commotion first, commotion. This was one era of commotion. This was another era of commotion. But now how to iron it out? How to iron it out and make it easy for everybody? That nobody has a confusion in his mind. So all the Sahaba Ikram agreed that we'll do it like this. So the script is one single script. Now if you look at the script, here our script, or the Arabian script, or whichever script is the same. Only that Sabar Zer, everything is the same. Just that the style is a little bit different than our style. But if you look at the words and all, everything is identical. Alphabets, everything is identical. Just that the writing is a little bit different than our writing. Otherwise, everything is identical. Everything is the same. So now, the importance to understand the Akabir, number one, and not just understand, but open eyes, why they, in one situation, our elders did this. In another situation, they did this. But to understand why they did this, why they preferred this method in this circumstance, and they preferred that method in that circumstance, you need to have some sight, understanding, know what was the surrounding at the time, what was happening at the time. And you got all that information, now you got the full picture. But you don't understand all that. Now, I ask you, is it fair? So no, I'm imitating the Akabir. Is that fair of you? Not fair, because you got half the information. When you got half the information, you're applying according to your understanding. You applied half of what you understood. You got it wrong. And then you're attributing the whole thing to the elders. Now, will that be right? So, therefore, they have impressed upon imitating, following the Akabir. But then the Akabir also, they need to understand that, see, people are behind us. So, when people are behind us, then we need to send the right signal. We can't move. We deviate a little bit, then people also start moving away. Like I was explaining last night, or this morning explaining, right? See, the Kaaba Sharif is here, right? So now look at the atlas, and you see a little deviation from here, from Africa, a little deviation. As you read the Kaaba Sharif, you'll be thousands of miles away, right? Isn't it? So the elders also need to be very careful. Are we on, or we have deviated a little bit? Like these people have to see carefully, understand, etc. Then the elders also need to understand, we got an amanat here, and we need to hold firmly to that amanat. We can't move away from that. Both, they have to be in the state of fikr, and the following also need to be in the state of fikr. Now you'll find the true shape, the true color of deen appearing. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.